Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, January 19th, just a couple minutes here before the closing bell. And we have an S&P right now that is sitting positive 2% on the year. And actually, Tuesday of this week, it was positive close to right around 5% on the year. That's just 17 calendar days into the year, obviously 19 now. But when it was up about 5%, that's 17 calendar days. I don't know how many, I guess that'd be about 10 trading days, something roughly like that. So obviously off to a good start. Now we're going to talk about in here in just a minute the importance of those numbers, historically speaking and statistically speaking as well. But before we get to that, I just wanted to touch on our plan. I know we talked about it a little bit last week, and I think the week before that. We'll probably just continue to touch on it. We never know. You know, sometimes even some people miss a week, and so it's an important part of what we plan to do to set ourselves up for success in 2023. So we'll go over it again, and that is preparing the portfolios to have, much like last year, have a heavy cash position going into the February 9th CPI announcement, and really more specifically going into the February 17th OPEX options expiration. I know, I understand that very few portfolios actually contain options in them, but it is statistically an important timestamp as far as what we are trying to accomplish here, and that is in anticipation of a market downturn. And when we say that, you know, everything's relative, I suppose, but what we're really anticipating is about a 10% decline. Now, the reason it's going to be sort of newsworthy, I suppose, is because of the short amount of time we think that it's going to occur over. And it's also going to have, probably just from a psychology perspective, it's going to have a lot of people start to think, here we go again, it's going to be just like last year. But it, to put things a little bit more into perspective, if you think about just the last 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like we just mentioned, we had an S&P that was up 5 and is now up 2. So that's a 3% decline right there. And that certainly in my opinion, that hasn't been any sort of cause for worry. And I'll actually give you another reasoning here in a second as to why it's not a worry. It's actually a positive thing. But I just wanted to put it in perspective. You know, 10% sounds like a lot, but of course, you know, it's nobody wants to see it, but it's not, in relative terms, it's not that. We're not looking for any sort of severe market downturn, I guess is what I'm really long-winded way of explaining that. But we do think that there will be a brief downturn. For lack of a better term, I'm going to call it sort of a knee-jerk type of reaction. In other words, I think we'll see could very easily see that downturn followed by a nice orderly rally into the end of the year. Going back to even some of the statistics we've talked about over the last several weeks or maybe even a month now, and we're going to go over a couple of more of them, I think, that I find interesting, which I think is helpful, or at least it seems to be informative for some of the feedback that we've gotten, which I definitely appreciate. So I definitely appreciate that. And any other feedback is always helpful. But so we have a plan, and that plan is to use a couple of the individual equity positions along with some of our larger, like for instance, the S&P position that we have in there, to generate that cash position. And when we do see that, if we do see that downturn to around what I'm looking at is around 3,700, kind of like last year where we said, well, we think it's going to really go to 3,500, but our target's 3,600. You know, try to make sure we get in. And not trying to pick an absolute bottom or top for that matter. But, you know, in this instance, I'm kind of thinking that our price target is going to be around 3,700 with the probably more accurate price target of 3,600 for the index itself, or for the S&P itself. Of course, the broad markets will likely follow in suit in some degree. But same concept, and then redeploy that cash at those levels, and really look for an orderly, somewhat maybe methodical is not the right word, but orderly rally into the end of the year. So that's our short term plan. Obviously, that can change as if things develop domestically. We've got kind of having to keep an eye on the debt ceiling conversation, and then obviously globally there's several major things that we've got to keep our eye on, and there could be more to come, who knows. So obviously we're taking this day by day, subject to change at any given moment, but right now we feel like, barring any of that kind of stuff, we feel like we've got a really good pulse on what the market could do here in the very near future, as February 9th or 17th is just a few weeks away. So let's go back to the importance of the fact that the S&P is positive. And I find this to be interesting. Here we're going to go back into the statistical stuff. Not only is it interesting to me, but really they are very useful in trying to develop a plan for the overall market. And so what I find interesting about this stat specific to the S&P is the first five trading days of 2023, the S&P had a 1.37% gain, which is actually twice as much as the average. Going back, I'm not even sure how far back that goes, but it goes back a long ways. And so what's interesting is when you have an S&P that rallies more than 1%, which this did, 1.37, in the first five trading days, the average rest of year gain, right? So you had the 1.37, and the average following gain is 13.9, or just for ease, let's just call it 14%. So 14 plus your 1.37, you're talking about a 15% overall year-to-date projection for the S&P. Now, obviously, all those other stats we talked about, and this is very useful to me in determining an upside target, is they are all landing right kind of in that same zone, 12%, 13%, 14%, 15%. We've talked about varying statistical analysis that all sort of seem to converge. Now, this particular one, by the way, that has happened 80% of the time. So, I think last week we talked about 100% of the time going back, 70 years. And so this particular one, when you have an S&P that rallies more than 1% in the first five trading days, then 80% of the time historically that has led to an average positive gain on the year for 14% following that 1% rally, basically. So 15%, put it that way. So I find that to be just another layer of statistics that point toward potential double digit growth this year. Let's see. There was another stat here I found interesting. Let's see if I can pull it back up. A positive thing is that construction costs are on the decline. That's good, because that was sort of one of the, there's a few of them, but that was one of the leading indicators really as to the coming inflation that we're all now experiencing. So seeing that, not that that has to happen every time, or not that it's some sort of crystal ball during every single inflationary period, but I do remember just because I happened to be building a house during that, that was sort of that one of a couple of things that really took off on the forefront of inflation being a real conversation as it is now. So those costs are declining. That's a positive thing as far as inflation is concerned, which, I think that's really what's weighing on the markets a lot. And so that should be a positive thing for the markets as well. And when I say that, obviously that ties into inflation, ties into what the Fed does, what the Fed fund rate, and competition for investment dollars and all that. So it's all kind of interwoven. And I have a stat here. It had to do with CPI. This is just what's just kind of interesting to me. But when you have a CPI that has decelerated the way that it has since the peak in June, what you get is, well, what it does is it makes it twice as likely that the economy has already been in a recession. So the statistical probability that we have already been in a recession due to the pace of the deceleration in the CPI, it becomes much more likely that we've already been in a recession or the possibility of going into one. Now, if you've listened to me for any length of time, you know that I've really been beating the drum that we've been in one, and I can point towards a couple of different things. Contraction GDP, inverted yield curve. You know, there's multiple things you can point towards that show that we've been in a recession, in my opinion. But this kind of adds to that, I guess. And I do think that once once the media starts to really say here is the recession, we're actually going to be coming back out of it. And the market, again, reminder, market is forward looking 6 to 9 months. So while they're if they ever say yes, now we're in a recession, the market's going to certainly have already priced all that in it well in advance. And honestly, might be a convenient way really to say we've avoided a recession by the time we're out of it. So anyways, that's my spiel on CPI. And that too makes me feel positively about the overall possibility of positive market performance this year, because I think the worst of it was priced in last year. And I think that the market's going to be forward-looking 6 to 9 months and showing that coming out of that recession has happened. So one other thing I found interesting, and I think most people knew this about last year anyways, but almost every single asset class, and really off the top of my head, I can't even think of one that was positive other than, I guess, commodities, overall commodities. But a very typical thing to do is a 60-40 portfolio where you have a mixture of stocks and bonds, and traditionally, historically, stocks and bonds are inverse to each other. So in a year like last year, you would hope that, yes, of course, your stock allocation was suffering, but your bond allocation was hopefully stepping in and saving the day. Well, last year that wasn't the case. And so for those who, and everyone, if you've been listening to this long enough, you know my thoughts on 60-40 portfolios and the inefficiencies. And so anyways, last year, that was a double whammy for people who had that type of portfolio, because the bonds fell just as badly as stocks. And it had to do with interest rates. But and so that, for most people, produced losses anywhere from 20, and we talked about those stats, 20 to some 60%. So why is that important to us? Because we weren't a 60-40 portfolio. That's why we were able to escape last year the way we did. Why it is important for us is it. So if stocks and bonds are inverse to each other, they're supposed to be, but last year they weren't, right? So they both went down. They moved in the same direction. That's not typical. That's historically speaking. But when you have that happen, when that typical correlation breaks down and now they're heading in the same direction, what it does is it makes it more likely that this year that correlation will return, that traditional inverse correlation will return. So stocks up, bonds down, or bonds up, stocks down, for this year. Now, which one is it, right? Is it stocks up, bonds down, or bonds up, stocks down? Well, if you overlay that with all these other statistics that we've thrown out about the likelihood of stocks higher by, 12, 13, 14, 15, all the different stats that we've referenced, that would tell me that there is an edge, so to speak, that it will be stocks up, bonds down. And that would also make sense too with a declining interest rate or even stabilized interest rate environment. That would really kind of play into that as well pretty nicely. So those are all my stat spiel. I did have one I thought would kind of be interesting for all of our sports fanatics there. I don't know if we have any, but Monday night obviously was a playoff game in which Tom Brady played his 48th career playoff game. And that, just those 48 playoff games represents about almost three full NFL seasons and equal to the average career length of an NFL wide receiver. So that's pretty impressive. Nice little tidbit there. Maybe we'll wrap up on that one and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend, and look forward to doing this again next week.